Mama thought she was going out on a date this evening, so.
You're wrong. So what is it called? What do the young people call it? What is it called? Nightcap. That's what it's called. You still got time for
the
a nightcap?
The young people.
The youth? I thought that was an essay.
Gen Z says that?
I don't know. I haven't been on one in a while, so. We don't hit the streets. The street at the end of our lane, it didn't come back. All right.
Ooh, that's enough.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Melanin Mom Happy Hour Podcast. Today, before we start with the game, on this episode, we are talking about teaching in a pandemic or teaching virtually and how, like, basically in person. But we had Brianna's friend. I have met this friend in person, finally. One out of how many friends she has. This is Caprico, and she is a teacher. She is a 30-something native Washington. She leads the most interesting life in the world. She's a teacher by day, a cat lady by night. You can find her at her local favorite restaurants or crashing the kids' tables at any party. Okay. She has been teaching for 12 years in DC charter and traditional public school settings and has taught grades pre-K 3 and 4. Kindergarten as well as second and third grade. I need to put like a highlight on that because I have so many things to just say about that. First thing first, before I forget that part, it wasn't until my kids started school that I knew that I found out there were two pre-Ks, like 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that. I guess, well, that was a long time ago when I started preschool. I just thought it was just like preschool. I didn't know it was like 3 and 4, but I'm glad it is 3 and 4 because I'll wait till we play the game because that's a lot to go into. But you learn something new when you have kids and being friends with teachers. So I have an aunt, my mom, she's an IA, and my cousin, she's an IA. So I have quite a bit of teachers in my family. So I know just a little bit. So I know like little ins and outs of teaching. So first, we're going to start off with this game to break the ice. But like I said, I already know Caprico. So let's go ahead. I'm going to pick a letter. Well, show you a card. And I guess the topic can be, let the first one be teaching in a pandemic. So I'm going to show you a letter. And you have to think of many things that you can that start with that letter in regards to teaching in a pandemic. Are you ready?
Okay. we'll try it.
B Wills, you got the timer. We're gonna do a quick let's do 30 seconds. And you can just raise your thumb when time is up. You ready? Oh, that's an easy letter. You ready? All right, your letter is C.
Oh my God. Okay. Coronavirus, obviously. and let's go with his cousin, COVID. oh my God. It's like my brain just instantly like emptied out. I feel real bad. My brain just is empty. What things begin with C? Oh my gosh. This is awful.
Oh, time's up. Computers.
Oh my, computer, crayon.
colored pencils.
You know.
That's funny because
I'm so sorry. Like,
it happens. It's like you're so ready and it's like blank, like what? And then at the end, you're like, I could have said that. You're going to go to sleep tonight. You're like, I could have said that.
This will haunt me all evening.
All right, we're going to do one more letter. Let me shuffle it up, make sure I don't get C again.
Please.
All right. Oh, all right. You ready, Brie? Okay. Your letter is S.
Okay. This I might be able to do. Student. Student.
I need to phone a friend.
I do. I need to phone a friend. This is crazy. I promise I'm really smart, y'all. I promise. Science. That's a word.
So I'm going to go with snacks.
Oh my goodness. Yes, man.
And you said science, social studies.
Social studies, small group, Lord have mercy, shape my brain. I'm sorry, y'all. This would have got me in the morning. I would have been sharper in the morning. We should have done this at 7:30 a.m. before I was hanging out with kids all day.
That's so funny. Well, you did a good job. Well, you definitely got at least, like, you just won when with COVID and Corona. Because I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about something totally different, but yeah, you definitely got that one. So on this episode, like I said, we are talking about teaching in a pandemic versus like in-person teaching. We all know that in 2020, the world shut down. Not only were we running out of toilet paper, we were trying to adapt to virtual learning. Some of us parents had to blow off some of our books because we had to basically sit in the classroom with some of our kids, whether you sit them to daycare or you sat there with them. At the beginning, I was literally running from room to room, making sure my kids were like in class, doing what they're supposed to do, all that type of stuff. So virtual learning was definitely an eye-opener for everyone. Parents, ourselves, thankfully at that time I only had two, and thankfully the oldest was only in first grade, because if he was any higher in math, he would have just had been exempt from any any math participation, because he would have had to wait for his dad to get home. But as parents, it was maybe hard on us, but for teachers, we know it was probably the hardest on you, because it was new to everyone, but just in that little bit of time trying to scramble and get yourself together to do virtual learning and to cater to each child's individual needs while trying to gain their attention while they're at the most comfortable place in the world, their home. So we just want to know how virtual learning went for you and how in-person learning is going now. So I don't know how it was for you. I don't know if like you did virtual learning the whole school year or if you went back in person. Did you do virtual the whole year last year, or did you do virtual and in-person?
It was a mix of virtual and in-person. Mm-hmm. So this past school year, not the current one, but the past school year, I went back to work on like February 3rd, like the first week of February was my first time back in the building since the previous year's March. And it wasn't too bad, because I didn't have my full classroom. So normally my classroom would have had 20 students, but I only had 8 that came in person. And we were only there until 12:30. It wasn't bad, but then as the month went on in April after spring break, I got 4 extra students, so we had 12, so we went from 8 to 12, but still only half day. But then in August when we went back, all 20, all day.
So when you were doing virtual learning, were you doing that at home or were you actually in person? I mean, did you have to go into the school and do virtual?
So we were very fortunate, like at the very beginning, so like in like spring / early summer of 2020, because of everything being shut down, the mayor also shut down all government buildings. So we could not go to school, we couldn't work from school, like we couldn't be in the building. So all of that was, all of that rest of that school year from that March 2020 to June, we were at home.
Okay. Because here, well, I signed up my kids for virtual the whole school year, but I think they had his virtual teacher was in school some days and then some days she would be home. I don't know if she had to be in school or not, but I know my mom, she was virtual, just like you said, up to like February, but they actually had to be in school and do the virtual. So it was a little different. Mom, I know you're listening. I'm not going to tell all your business, but you gave me the cheat codes. So I got to use them. If you could choose, I feel like I already know the answer to this. If you could choose virtual learning or in-person, which one would you choose?
Well, I do love being at school and being around children of all ages. I would definitely prefer to be at home. I would. If there was a level of like comfortability, like being in your own home, that you cannot beat like being in the classroom. I get like the idea of school as like a social structure, like a place where like kids need to be, but like being at home was like so great. It was so great.
So like you said, the social structure, that I understand that 1,000%. So when we moved right before the world shut down, so my kids, this is my kids' first year actually stepping foot into their new school. And when virtual school was over, so when last year was over, my husband was like, they got to go because they needed that social, they needed to be social, because at that time, all they knew was each other. There were kids in the neighborhood. We really didn't know them. And plus COVID was going on. So I don't know where your mom is going and all that stuff. So them going in school, even though it's a bigger population, here they have a mask mandate. So everyone has to wear a mask. So they really needed to go to school to be social and be face-to-face with the teacher and other students and just kind of grow within their age group, instead of like, it's a big difference. It's not a big difference in their age, but just for them to be social and see their teacher in person. Because my son's teacher, she looked so young that when they first signed on, they thought she was a student. So they really needed to see that she was an actual teacher and see her in person and everything like that. So my next question is,
question before we move on. What is the trick to like holding students' attention when you're virtual? Like keeping them from being distracted or distracting other people, other kids?
You know, it's a fine balance between having your finger hovering over the mute all button. you know, that's an important piece. It's just like being ready to like mute somebody or to tell someone, I'm just gonna mute you so that everyone else can hear. It's a little loud where you are. We just want to make sure everybody can hear. You know, the mute button is definitely at the top of the list. But just like having a mixture of like attention getting things, so like stones and like different little quick things to get them refocused. So like having like lots of tricks and like things like that just ready for you to use, I think was the easiest thing. I think for my grade level, we did less like on screen thing. So like my friends who taught higher grades who were like actually having to like simulcast and like be screen facing for several hours at a time, it was definitely a lot more difficult for them, and they definitely had to like tap into different program things or different ways to arrange things so that kids were like stimulated, and it just felt like they were getting breaks even though they were really sitting in front of a screen. So like for me, like direct instruction was only like at most an hour on screen because the kids were so young. But like as the grades got higher, DC had different requirements for the number of minutes students had to be online, like getting live actual instruction.
So with that being said, how are your students adjusting to COVID regulations in school?
I think the easiest thing is coming in with the mask on, right? So it's like you have the mask on, but then it's like I'm constantly doing like this all day. Like put your mask over your nose. Put your mask over your nose. You're eating, your mask is on, please don't talk. The 6 feet non-existent with little children, because they gotta be like this, they have to be touching, lots of shared materials, having to be sanitized all the time, so like kids are always like, you know, having to tidy up, and they're like used to it. It makes them feel like grown up, like look at us, we're wiping this down, like yes, look at you, you're doing it. It's very normal to them because for a good portion of their life, like this is what they've experienced. So the oldest kids in my class are 5. So like for a good 2 years, like this is normal to them as far as like what they're able to kind of like remember how working memory works in little children. So like this is very normal to them. So if you told them like there used to be a time where we will be in a crowded place, next to black, no mask, and they'd be like, you didn't have a mask on. Like it's foreign to them.
Yeah,
I guess because they would have been what, 2.5, 3 when this all started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah,
Wild. And they at the 2.5, they were really at the age where they really just started to have to wear the mask. Right. So, and that's crazy. I was just thinking about that with Junior. I'm like, hopefully in like another year, this will be over with because you'll be added to the bunch of masks that I have to buy a mask for. So do y'all have like masks already in the class, like for the kids that might not come to school with a mask, or at some cases like it might get wet, they might break, that type of thing?
Yep, we have a stockpile of them in the classroom. Most kids usually just come with their own, but obviously like we have them, they can replace them if they need to be, which is fairly often. Fairly often, because the new favorite thing is to like chew the mask while it's on your face, so I'm constantly like in horror looking at students with these giant wet spots on their mask. I'm like, please friends, while you have the mask on your face, do not chew it, do not eat it, do not lick it, don't, please. It's so gross. Like y'all are already gross. So like, don't add this extra gross thing to like your list of things that you do. Please.
So I applaud these children that have had to go back to school and have to wear a mask because they're basically like essential workers, because essential workers have to wear a mask all day and keep it on their face, and they have to wear it all day, like whether it's they're sitting in like a hot classroom, whether they're doing PE, I don't know how they do music class, whether they're doing art or outside at recess. I don't know if my kids have to wear it outside. Do your kids have to wear it when they're outside?
They do, but we kind of are like a little more lax with that, as long as they're like giving space. Like if you need a moment to like just like take it down, like mm-hmm. sit on the bench, you can do some low impact things. Yeah. But like obviously if they're on like communal playground stuff, they have to have a mask on. But like if you're doing independent things, like it's fine.
Yeah. So I'm going back to virtual learning. As we know that parents share everything on Facebook. And of course we had to come with the crazy things that we saw while sitting in class with our kids and the funniest moment. So can you share a funny moment while you were on virtual school that either your students said or something that might have happened in the background before you hit mute all? So any stories?
I think so in the first wave of virtual learning, kindergarten graduation, having that virtual was very, very funny. One of a little girl in my class, her little sister, had like crashed the graduation, and she was like playing in her mother's makeup, and mom obviously did not know this. So she comes on screen and she's got like clown red all over her face. Just like face is red. It's giving like Ronald McDonald smile, and she's like so excited to be there for his sister's graduation. Like, what is going on here? So that was funny. Another always funny thing with like kids getting, well, it's not really funny, but like it'd be kind of funny. I would crash my friend's like second grade class, and there's like always some kids who had done something at home, and the mom like busts in the room and like is fussing and cussing, and it's just like, you're not on mute, friend. I'm like, oh my god, we gonna meet you. Oh, we gonna meet you. Like, why is your mama doing that? We are in school. We are in school. But luckily, I never had to experience anything firsthand where I was like, oh my gosh, why is this happening? Because, you know, at my time of day, like 9:30 to 10:30, there was nothing really going on. A lot of my virtual stuff was asynchronous. So, like, I was just sitting and recording videos constantly and then uploading them for people to watch later.
I think for me, and I felt like the teacher did this too, like when a child would get in trouble and the mom would be yelling in the background, she would like slowly like go to hit the mute all just to hear what she's going to say. And sometimes like the kid would have it off mute and they wouldn't know, so they would be going off, and then next thing you know, she'll be like, you got your mic off. So those are the funny things that that happened to us. If we had to go back to virtual learning, do you feel like you would be prepared now?
I think so. I feel like the longer we had to do virtual learning, the more predictable it became. Mm-hmm. So when we were first like sent home, they were very like optimistic, like, oh, you guys will be back in school on like March 27th or whatever, or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what we'll do is we'll move your spring break up from the middle of April. So this first week will be your spring break, and then we'll have 1 week at home, and you'll be back at school. So we were only really anticipating having to do like a week's worth of like computer things. And then they were like, actually, it's going to be April. And they're like, actually, you're not going back. And school is going to end at such and such date. And so we were kind of just like very much winging it. Just like, okay, well, this is what we would do in the classroom. We would read stories. We do these weeks worth of math lessons. We did this. And it was kind of just like, okay, I guess we'll just record all of them and put them on YouTube and arrange them in some parent-friendly way. So like we had a classroom website, and it was kind of like, this is where you go to grab these things. You'll hear all the reading lessons, hear all the math lessons. And it was very much like kind of like cut and dry and rote for me, in that like I would wake up at the same time that I would to like get ready for work. So I'd be up at like 6:30, and I would just like crank out a bunch of things. And by like 9:30, 10 o'clock, I would have done like enough work that I wouldn't have to do anything for the rest of the day, except like answer emails when they came, or like attend meetings and things like that. And I preferred it that way, but it seemed as though they really wanted us to have like that like live like eyes on the children, which mm-hmm. is why when we came back last fall, it seemed like so different from what we were used to, just like sitting down, cranking out a bunch of things, like working on a little bit of things like all throughout the day, but like having mm-hmm. to actually sit and like have to sit for a set time frame and like be live. Like it was very different from just like doing things at your own pace. So it became like, yeah, I still have me time, but it's like I have to be like sitting for this block of time when I didn't mm-hmm. necessarily have to do that at first.
Yeah. So did you guys have off, I know a lot of schools had off like Wednesdays. Did you guys mm-hmm. have off like just that, was that considered like your planning time for the rest of the week?
It was like a mixture of things. So like we had never had like a central like day for meetings, like period. Like meetings mm-hmm. happen all day, every day of the week. And so like that Wednesday kind of made it very predictable in that I know that I'm not going to have to deal with this on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Thursday, or a Friday. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's a meeting, everybody's going to schedule it on the one day. Everybody is at home. Or, you know, it's like, you don't have to think about it outside of Wednesday. And yeah. That was even, like, helpful when we went back in person because we still kept the Wednesday. So it was really, like, only having to live, like, 2 days at a time. Like, if I can make it to Tuesday, then I know on Wednesday, I'm at home. And then after Wednesday, it's like, honestly, I'm going to make it to Friday. It's like, everybody lives for Friday. So, like, of course, this is, like, living, like, 2 days at a time. And it was perfect. But now, today, I was so sad. I was like, if I was at home, I would have been having me a nap at, like, 1. Like, this Wednesday is, like, working on Wednesday.
Yeah. My mom, she wants the Wednesdays back. I'm like, but she said some schools do have it, but I'm like, you really can't do that now. Like, you already, like, started it, because now you have to think about the parents that like, no longer do daycare for their kids, so they have to find daycare for their kids on that Wednesday. Then you have to realize that, like, that's even more exposure, because that kid might not have been going to that daycare. Then it's just a lot. But if it happens, it happens. Do I miss it? With my kid, that well, my oldest, he used to have off Wednesdays and Fridays, but she would still send work home. So they would do, like, small groups Fridays. And she would do, like 5 different groups. And when she used to have him at 8 o'clock, like, getting on for an hour, I'm like, look, you make sure you up, because, honey, we getting on for this 1 hour and then we going back to sleep. And she had moved him to a 1 o'clock slot. I'm like, I wanted to email her so bad. Like, honey, who do I have to pay to put him back at the 8 o'clock
slot? Put him back at 8.
But yeah, I feel like it's needed. Like, it's so much easier, I feel like, for teachers, because even for parents, I would always use that day to make appointments. Like, if they got sick, all right, let's put it to Wednesday. If I need an appointment, all right, let's put it to Wednesday. Because when it's the middle of the week, most people try to hurry up and get appointments at the beginning of the week, and it's just easier having that free open day. You don't have to worry about kids missing assignments or anything like that, because they really, like, either get their work sent at home, hurry up and knock that out, and we can be on about our day. So I didn't have a problem with Wednesdays being free. With virtual learning, could you tell when a parent was helping out a student with their work?
Yes. Especially because, like, not so much at the beginning of last year, like, of the last mm-hmm. past year, but definitely at the midway to end point of the year, it's kind of like, we pretty much know where kids are, and they magically know things that they didn't know 2 weeks ago in the classroom. Like, y'all in Athletic, y'all in LO. Like, we know.
So I say that
it wouldn't even be like math stuff. It'd be like writing things. Like, most teachers in the classroom, if you show them a writing sample of any kid, they'd be able to figure out which kid. They'll tell you which kid it is, even if their name is not on it. Like, we know.
I should have reached out to you before virtual, because of course you always tell, like, each parent does stuff different. So I literally, like, sitting on the couch, watch my son do virtual, and he would, like, show, because I had to, like, send the teacher, like, take a picture, send to work, and I would check it, and I'm like, well, you got that wrong, let's fix it. So my husband, he would send me his work to send to the teacher, and I would be, like, checking on the phone. I'm like, you see, he has, like, 2 wrong. He's like, yeah, send it. I'm like, oh, let's fix that. He's like, no, because if he was in school, you wouldn't be able to do that. And I'm like, well, I ain't sending it right now. I'll send it when I get home, when he fixes those 2 problems. But yeah, also with my daughter, like you said, with the writing, like, the teacher would have them write a sentence, and I had to, like, all right, let's bring it down, like let's take some of these words out, because it'd be like, write, like, something about a cat, and of course I'd be like, okay, the cat looks beautiful. Like, she knows, she doesn't know beautiful and how to spell it, so I had to be like, the cat looks nice. So she went, oh, Callie, you're sick. That's what it was. One time I did have her be like it's and something else, and she was in the teacher. I'm like, she knew that wasn't from Callie, but look, she got it done. So I know nowadays reaching a teacher is very different. We used to always have to like call teachers or send an email or send a note with the kid hoping that the teacher would get it. What is the best way to reach you? Is it email? Is it texting you, calling you? What's the best way to reach you?
Now, this is always a very slippery slope because it's kind of like, I'm going to say, if you want to reach me, send me an email, because my emails come to the same phone that my text messages come to. But there have been times where I've had to call a parent from my phone, and it's like, once they get your number, it's like, all kinds out the window. I'm texting you pictures of my kid on the weekend. I'm asking you for your help about this. I'm asking about that. And it's kind of just like, yeah, you got my number, but you don't have to use it.
Not pictures of Johnny at the pumpkin patch.
They want a friend. They want you to put their picture on the bulletin board.
So I would say, like, email is definitely always a teacher's first preferred method of contact, unless they explicitly say, shoot me a text or call me anytime, which I don't think any teacher would actually say. But, you know, there are some of them that exist that say that. But I would definitely say email first, and then like, a quick text or a short phone call, you know? they're gonna do what they want to do anyway. It was like, I can't not answer you. So it was just like, I'm gonna say email first, but you know, you can text me or call me if you must.
So I wouldn't call myself an overbearing parent, but I need you to know about my child. So I used to do the emails, and then, like you said, some teachers do say, send me a text. So I'm still formal, like, good morning. I'm just letting you know, like, Callie's eating school lunch, or Callie we picked up early this morning. It's not like, Callie not coming to school because I don't feel like bringing her. It's nothing like that. But I had a teacher who would call me at 7 o'clock. No, one time she did call me at 7. I don't remember what she was talking about. But one time she called me at 5 o'clock, and she stayed on the phone for like an hour and a half telling me about my daughter. And I'm like, I just saw you yesterday. Like, what happened? So, like, in those senses, I just feel like they just wanted to talk to me. I'm such a nice person. But, yeah, I feel like, and then I felt like I was trying to make boundaries. After 6, if you send me a message at 7 o'clock, I'm not going to answer you until the next day. So I feel like, okay, after 6, like, go home, relax, honey. Like, school is out. Like, leave it alone. If it's not important, if she left like something that she's really going to need, that's the only reason why you should be calling me after 7. But there are overbearing parents. I wouldn't put myself in that category. Not now. When Junior gets to school, it might be a whole different story, but I don't think I'm that bad.
But that does open up a conversation for like boundaries and work-life balance for teachers. Does that look different in a COVID era? Right word.
I think that it does, and I think I would say even more so than it used to, because I feel like for us having to be at home and like be in our space, there were times where I was like, just because I didn't have anything else to do, like I was doing work at like 8 or 9 at night, just because I've been working from home, and it's like, yeah, I might as well do this, and then I won't have to do it tomorrow. But then it's like, actually, like, girl, you are insane. Why are you working right now? The schoolhouse is not open at this time during regular life. So, like, why are you working right now? So I think it became easy to, like, detach in that way, especially having to go back. Like, teaching me out of the door, and disengage by, like, 4.
And if don't let it be a Friday.
Right, and if you're still at school, it's because you're working on important things. And when you get home, you are not touching anything school related. So I do think that we began to appreciate the boundary of, like, school is at school and home is at home. Having been at home, having to be school.
So since you guys are back in school, what are some precautions besides the masks that teachers are taking due to COVID being around and being... I don't know how many cases you guys have, but what are some precautions you guys are taking to prevent COVID entering your classroom and school?
So we have had some cases at my school, but they haven't been like outbreaks. They've been isolated. Mm-hmm. They've been isolated and few and far between. So I think that, like, knowing that has, like, lessened the anxiety about, like, being back in person. We have, like, hospital-grade filters in our classroom. We have, like, endless access to, like, lots of cleaning and other supplies in the classroom and in the school period. So, like, we are definitely, like, doing a lot more, like, sanitizing. Like, that was definitely something we were doing anyway, but, like, being, like, more concerted and, like, doing it all the time is definitely, like, something that we had to, like, really do and think about. Individualizing student materials. So, like, there's a lot of communal things in the classroom, like a pencil cup with 30, 40 pencils in it. But then it's like, no, like, look, you have your own bin with your things that only you are touching. So, like, you have your own crayons, your own markers, your own scissors, your own glue, as opposed to, like, pulling from, like, everybody mixing things. So, like, individualizing things has also been, like, a thing across the board that teachers have been doing, just so that kids kind of are having less touch points. But as far as that, pretty much everything else is essentially the same as it would be during a regular school year. Well, we don't have, like, the water fountains a thing. Water fountains aren't a thing. So, like, kids are bringing water bottles and stuff like that to school. But other than that, every other things are kind of just, like, general things that, like, a good teacher would do anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, wipe all her blocks at the end of the week instead of, you know, we're doing it at the end of the day every day as opposed to the end of the week. But, like, I was already, like, sanitizing my things in my classroom anyway, and if teachers weren't doing that, then
you know. That's funny, because I was thinking when you said about how you have individual materials for each child. I remember when school started, it was this thing floating on the internet, and apparently a parent, like, wrote the kid's name on their, like, the crayon packet, the pencil packet, and apparently, like, the room mom texted her, was like, I think you went, like, a little too far with writing the kid's name on everything, and she was like, what do you mean? And apparently the mom wrote the kid's name on each piece of colored paper.
She was
like, you went a little too far with that. She was like, I worked such and such hours to pay for that paper. My son is gonna be the only one using that. But my friend, she says she wrote her kid's name on each pencil, but I feel like pencils, you kind of, like, keep them mm-hmm. just for that kid. So when I saw that, I was like, yeah, that was a little too far. So that was pretty funny. But that's why I laughed when you said about keeping the materials to yourselves. How do you handle tantrums with kids being back in school?
Blessedly, I haven't really had too many like too many like emotional outbursts, because mm-hmm. one thing, like working with little people, like you get accustomed to the sound of kids crying because kids are always crying at school. But, like, I really hate the sound of children crying. It's a thing for me. So like I'm definitely very big on like teaching kids how to manage their emotions and giving them strategies and tools to help them figure it out mm-hmm. on their own first. And like knowing that like you can use your words to articulate what is going on. Like you can be as mad as you want to be. You can be frustrated. You could be screaming and hollering. I would prefer that than to hear you crying. Please. Because at least you are trying to communicate something, you know? If you are speaking, yeah. I can work with that. I can have a conversation. But I cannot do anything if you are crying, fam. Please relax. Relax for a second. Tell me what is wrong. But I will also say that I also have been blessed because this year my students, I have the same students that I did last year, plus or minus like 4 or 5 of them, since I looped up with them. So they pretty much already knew each other and mm-hmm. they already know me and like my style and how I get down. So it was less of a learning curve as opposed to like having a whole new bunch where we're going to have to learn today. Yeah. This is what we're doing, this is what we're not doing. So it's great to have like a base level of norms already. Mm-hmm. And then most of them coming back to school in some, either in February or that April a little bit later, also helped too, because they were very familiar with the tools in the classroom and the language that we use and like when we're upset or we're trying to problem solve. Building kids' capacity to solve their own problems definitely pays out dividends in the long run, because there's less that I have to do mm-hmm. or because like I'm giving you the tools and language up front, like I'm front loading you so that you can then kind of just like think, is this a big deal or is it a little deal? I think this is a little deal. Okay, so like this is what I can do. But if this is mm-hmm. a big deal, I know that like I can't fix this and I need to get an adult. So definitely like front loading has definitely been like a thing. I'm giving you everything you need up front, helping you work through this, giving you the tools and like building your capacity to do it. Because it's like, oh, this is so hard. But like it might be hard, but like you can do hard things. Like you can do hard things. They're like, no, I can't. I'm like, you can, and I'm gonna show you that you can. So definitely like trusting that kids can handle and solve some things on their own is mm-hmm. it definitely pays out, because then they're not constantly like running to you to fix things, because then that also is like a thing where you kind of feel like you don't, it's very grounding to know that kids can be independent in some things in a classroom, because it's like I have time to breathe, I can focus more on this instead of having mm-hmm. to like put out fires at center time when kids are kind of basically guiding their own learning and doing their own thing. Like I have to do less like running after them and like solving like petty things. And like I can mm-hmm. actually do like, I can actually teach, I can actually do other things. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Do you have an IA or a teacher's assistant in your classroom?
So my grade level is the co-teacher model, so I do have another like school teacher in my classroom.
Okay. Okay. Because I don't think my son has one, but yeah, my mom, she's an IA, and she helps out with her class, and her teacher was actually out recently. See, so my mom's business, she shouldn't have told me. But she had to take over the classroom, and I know she was saying at their school they have in-school substitute teachers. So before, like when a teacher was out, they would call someone in like early in the morning, like, mm-hmm. hey, we need you to come in. Do you guys have in-school substitute teachers, or are you still outsourced?
We do, and that's typically the model, like, across, like, most schools in D.C. They have, there's obviously, like, a substitute pool that they would then, like, pull from if, like, your school's dedicated subs were not available. It's been kind of tricky this year, though, because it's, like, the nature of, like, absences is, like, there are so many people not at school every day, that we're kind of just like having to be like very flexible and just like how we're scheduling and like, you know, just how we navigate throughout the day, just because it's like if classes, like if there's a case in a classroom, then they all have to go virtual for 10 days and that's like a very quick pivot. We're definitely also like more in tune with like feeling sick. So it's like as soon as you feel like you're sick, like you know that like, you can't come to school and like you have to go get tested. So it's kind of just like always knowing that like that is also a thing, as opposed to like people also just taking vacations or taking time or getting married, a life thing. Like there's always gonna be something, right?
B-Wills, do you have any more questions?
I did have one question. Something that you said earlier made me think about like parents' anxiety that they might have. And I was just wondering if you dealt with that and navigated that. I think it was when you were talking about like communicating with parents and your preferred way of communicating with them. I just wonder if parents who are super maybe cautious about their or worried, anxious about their kid being in school in person, like Mia.
Yes, I would say yes, definitely. And the same strategy that we use for kids in the classroom is definitely the same that we did with parents. We're front loading you with information so that you don't have to ask questions about these things, but like ask about like serious things. So like we, for the most part, everybody at my school as a grade level, they did like room tours, because a big thing was that parents aren't allowed in the building, and it's still a thing, and parents really do not like that. They want to be in the mix. They gotta know
what's yes doing. Yes.
So it's like it's definitely
want to be close enough to smell my kid's teacher. Like
we definitely had to do like MTV Cribs, like, hey, this is
this where the magic happened. Like,
yes, and like we're showing you the health and safety precautions. We're showing you how the classroom space is a little bit different. We're showing you that how even though it's different, it's still predictable. And a lot of the things, like parents are trying to make sure their kids are like going to be safe. And that was like a big thing for parents, especially like coming back with the first wave of everybody going back in February. It's like, okay. It definitely helped when the like district revisited things and they opened they lessened the requirement so that more students will come back in April of last year. So once parents knew that like kids had been in school for like 2.5 months, we didn't have any cases, kids were thriving, like kids were having an awesome experience at school, teachers were happy to welcome them back, parents felt more comfortable sending their kids to school, so that like over the summer and by like August, parents were very enthusiastic. Even some who were still like full of worries about lots of things, were enthusiastic about their kids being there, because they knew that like they knew a lot of what was going on behind the scenes in the school, even though they didn't physically like come in to see it themselves. So it's kind of just like a trusting the adults that are doing it to like have your best interest and your kids' best interest at heart. But it's easier said than done, but you definitely, it's like a relationship thing. And like once like the parents felt fully comfortable and the kids don't have the anxiety either, and it's like, you know, we're all good. But it definitely took a lot of like front loading and getting them comfortable first, because like if the parents weren't going to be comfortable, then you know the kids weren't going to be comfortable, and it would turn into a thing at drop off. It's like, I don't want to let you go, and it's like, but you have to. So yes, parent anxieties were definitely managed the same way that kids' anxieties were. Give them a lot of information up front, let them know that like I'm doing as much as I physically can to make sure that your kids stay safe. This is what the district is doing to make sure your kids are safe. Like I'm vaccinated fully, like kids are apart. They have individual materials. This is what our day is like. We're all in masks. Like, it also helped that last year, like, our kids weren't eating in the classroom. Like, we'll keep her there full day. Like, they're eating lunch, but they're a little more spread out. Kind of hard to do with the full 20, but, like, a lot of their anxiety is surrounding, like, how it could possibly, like, the kids could possibly get sick. We're eliminated because, like, we weren't taking naps at school, and we weren't eating at school. So it was kind of just like, your kid is just basically in their mask for a couple of hours around the other kids. And we were outside for one of those 4 hours. So it was really just like, it was like, you know, hey, just come here, hang out, go home, do it all over again every day.
But yeah, like what Brianna said, I would say I had the parent anxiety, and I tried to not let it rub off on my kids. But I didn't find out my kid's teacher until the day before school started. So I emailed and text, basically a small little description about my kids. a short story about them, just to let them know. And I think I printed it out and put it in their backpack too. I think I did. I don't know.
Did you laminate it too?
Not yet, but... I just need you to know who this child is, that they are a very, very fragile child going into a new school. I think it was just them going into a new school that I had the anxiety. But thankfully, the year before, my daughter had, both of them had amazing teachers that I still keep in contact with. We will think it's a little weird, but that's how I know where my kids are at all times of the day. I can always text one. And they will let me know. And the first day of school, both of their old teachers were like, oh, we saw Colton, we saw Callie. They look so happy. So that kind of helped. So just having that conversation and relationship with a teacher or staff member is kind of nice, because you know, like, your child is being well taken care of. But I do ask them questions in the car. Was your teacher nice? Was the kid nice? Did somebody hit you? Did somebody touch you? Did you do this? Did you do that? Because I need to know. Because, honey, once they let these parents back into school, me and Junior, we will be in there as soon as they open up, because I need to know. thankfully, like I said, all their teachers are very nice. They are very respectful. They communicate very well back and forth. It's all about communication. If parents feel comfortable and we feel like we can communicate back and forth and not get those answers right away, because I know you're teaching my child, but with at least within that time frame of them being in school, that have that back and forth, like, little conversation. I won't bother you. Like, honey, I know you gotta do what you gotta do. When I pick my kids up from school, I'm not gonna be texting you. You're not getting no pictures of my kids. You don't need none of that. Like, you see them. You see them more than me half the time. So you don't need none of that from the Pumpkin Patch. And let's be friends on Facebook. But if B-Will doesn't have anything else to say, as teachers in the pandemic, like I said, it was a very new to all of us, and we do consider you guys essential workers. We are so forever grateful and thankful for you guys, because as we know, virtual learning was a very big and explosive new thing, the new normal, as they called it. So while we were learning things, you guys basically had to learn as you went. Like you said, you thought you were going to be out for just 2 weeks, but nope, COVID had other things in mind. So we thank you for everything you do, everything you continue to do. You are shaping these little kids when we are not around, because you guys are teaching us, teaching them more than what we know sometimes, because Colton knows a new way to do math, and he has to teach me. So we thank you guys so much, because like I said, you guys spend more time with our kids than we do. And if we could pay you more, take it out of somebody else's bank account, but we would definitely pay you more.
Yes, run me my money, run me my band.
With a decline in teachers after COVID, we know it was hard for some schools, but we thank all the ones that are still teaching and still shaping the minds of the next generation. So thank you for all you do, and anyone you work with. If we had flowers, we would give them to you. B-Wills will be sending you flowers to celebrate how you like. Thank you for being on this podcast. Is there anything else you want to say?
Thank you for having me. No, this is very exciting.
Thanks, friend.
No problem.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, that wraps up the episode.
Hey, it's your girl Mama Mia. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode of Melanin Mom Happy Hour Podcast. Please follow us on all of our social media platforms under Melanin Mom Podcast, all one word, to be notified on upcoming podcasts or maybe when B Wills will be dropping her fire mixtape. Also, at the end of every episode, we'll be answering some of our viewers' questions. So please email us at melaninmompodcast@gmail.com. Maybe your question will be featured in our next episode. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.